afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Thursday, July 27th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, I'll tell you, the month is almost over. I guess,
The year is well on its way.
I know. I know it. And it's just like, oh my goodness, that makes us all a year older, too.
Oh, that is not just a year. I mean, the decade is not that much longer. You say, oh, we got three more years on the decade. No, watch and see. I mean, it's going to go back. It's going to go by quickly.
We actually have 6 months. But that's
this
just
year.
Until
5 months.
It'll seem It'll seem like 6 months until 2020.
Oh, I understand
It'll
that.
Seem like 6 months.
I understand.
And it's just mind-boggling. It really is. And it's, you know, when we think about 1999 and the big Y2K, although I was a believer in Y2K, and I do believe it actually happened, they used it, and it was a don't let a situation go, a crisis go wasted, and they did use it to really globalize computers. It really was, it connected the world with computers. It really did usher in everybody upgraded, and but that's another story we can talk about. But our phones actually didn't work that day. We had them fixed. And so anyway, and
everything I knew about worked, including me.
No,
that's what aggravated
me.
If we're going to have a 1999 computer crash, I should at least get the day off, but no.
I didn't believe that we would have, you know, the outages and so forth, you know, globally like everyone was anticipating, but I did believe there would be some sort of disruption, and it was used, and I do believe that event was used to truly globalize computers, to connect the world with computers. If you go back there, you had the NASDAQ with all the tech stocks roaring. You had, I remember talking to insurance people, business people, saying, yeah, we had to upgrade all of our to new computers. And I think all of the new computers were all wired to, you know, generate into what we are today, to lead us into where we are today. But that's my conspiracy theory, and I'm sticking with it. I'm not going to.
But it is really an extraordinary story. The whole world was essentially scared into thinking something extraordinary was going to happen on January 1st, 2000. And nothing happened for all practical purposes.
And it
makes you wonder, there's a couple of lessons here. First, the whole world is sufficiently ignorant where it can be fooled at the same time. And the second is the people in positions of who should know what's going on, apparently they either intentionally deceived us,
right,
and in doing so they deceived the whole world, or they didn't even know what was going on with their computers. They were ignorant. They were dumb. It's like me saying that my computer is going to burst into flames, and so will yours and everybody else's. You're all going to burst into flames in 30 seconds.
I don't believe
and
that
the
at
world
all.
Believed it.
I believe the first one. I believe the first story, because there were people in positions of power that, you know, you listened to. You had city politicians, governors. You've had, you know, many people coming out talking about this. I mean, people in positions. And so I do believe it was orchestrated. I do believe it was by design.
And it worked.
And I believe the reason was to, you know, incorporate a wiring, so to speak, computers globally. That's when we really became global, I believe, was with the Y2K. But anyway, gold today. It was up strong this morning. 1265 was the high, almost 1266. And we're looking at 1260 right now. So a little bit of pressure down 120. Silver was down 9 cents. We saw the same type of thing this morning. Strong morning uptick for silver. 1691 was the high. We are currently 1665, down 9 cents. Platinum was down $4 at $930. Palladium was the only white metal precious metal, up 4 at 878. USDX today was stronger, and it was actually weaker. Was up 0.52 at 93.92. Crude oil was up 33, approaching that $50 level at 49.08. Stock markets today, after Jeff Bezos was announced, he is now the most powerful and richest man in the world. So, on a corporation that gets subsidies from his shipping, like a buck and a half for every box he ships, he gets a subsidy. It's like, yeah, okay, things are going great in this world, aren't they? The Dow was up 85 points at 21,796. The NASDAQ was down 40 at 63.82. And the S&P was down 2 points at 24.75. The 10-year yield popped 0.02 at 2.31%. And the euro pressure down 0.53 at 117. Nothing to talk about in the European and Asian markets. Germany was down almost 1%. London was down fractionally. There was Boeing shares jumps nearly 10% to a record high. Facebook and Amazon hit 500 billion milestone. I mean, these numbers. Deutsche Bank executives give up 45 million in bonuses. Oh, my heart bleeds for them. It's just a lot of noise, a lot of numbers, and it doesn't change anything to the fact that we are in serious trouble with our monetary policy and the structure, our system. The structure is fractured, and doesn't matter what numbers they do, that can't be fixed until they fix our monetary policy, just not here, but also around the world. Al, yesterday there was a big story reported of Foxconn, a Taiwanese electronics company, plans to build a $10 billion plant in Wisconsin that would create liquid crystal display panels. Employs as many as 13,000 people. This was according to the White House and, of course, the Governor Scott Walker. It's expected to open in 2020. It will be on a 20 million square foot campus on at least 1,000 acres. They've already dubbed it Wisconsin Valley. The plant could be the first of several facilities the company wants to build in the United States. It will start with 3,000 employees, a staff that could eventually grow by 10,000. Eventually. So initially, it's going to have 3,000. But they're touting the 13,000 people. And I think where they get that number, they also said it could create 10,000 construction jobs building the plant. I think that's where they truly get their 13,000. It still has to be approved by the state, but I think any politician that would go against it wouldn't be reelected again. You could look at this and say, hey, this is really good for the state of Wisconsin. And it is. You know, it is. Oh, but I do have a few little comments, Al.
See, I don't know that it is good for the state
of
Wisconsin.
Let me finish. Number one, there's a lot of subsidies that are going that made this company pick Wisconsin. You're talking billions and billions of state, local, and federal. I don't want to pay for people to get a job in Wisconsin on my federal taxes. I'm not so sure the people in Wisconsin want to have increased taxes to pay for people to get jobs. You know, let the company pay for themselves. But they have to be lured into areas. I guess there was a big fighting going on amongst several states so that, trying to lure Foxconn. Now, back in 2013 or 2014, I believe Foxconn actually had said they were going to build a plant in Pennsylvania. Well, you know, the dollar got a little stronger and it would have cost them a lot more money to build. So now you're seeing a little weakness. Don't know if that played a little bit into their plans, but they didn't go ahead with that plant in Pennsylvania. So I would have to think with the backing of President Trump, they're not going to back out of the deal in Wisconsin. They plan to make a campus. My question is, are they going to hire Americans or are they going to bring foreigners over to work in the
tent? I have no idea, but the main problem I have with this, I have written on this since the early 1990s every once in a while. I talk about it on the program from time to time. There is a multiplier effect that's recognized by economists. And the multiplier effect is that if somebody comes into Dallas, County Dallas, Dallas, Texas, which is where I live, if somebody comes from Illinois, comes to Dallas, and they spend $5,000 on a trip, the actual net increase in the Dallas GDP is somewhere between $15,000 and $35,000. You put an extra $5,000 in, there's a multiplier effect between three and seven, according to some people.
All right, three.
Now, the problem is that if there's a multiplier effect when money comes in, there must be a multiplier effect when money goes out. Because otherwise, we could take people from Chicago, come down here and spend $5,000. We generate $15,000 in Dallas. Take the $15,000 to L.A., generate $45,000 in L.A. Take the $45,000 to Seattle. We get $150,000. Take it back to Chicago, and we get $450,000, almost $500,000, from a mere $5,000 investment, initial investment. If it multiplies every time we bring it into a new local economy by three times, we could, it's a proverbial money tree where we could all get fabulously wealthy just by moving the money from city to city to city, right? There has to be, but the truth of the matter must be that when Chicago sends $5,000 to Dallas, Chicago suffers a $15,000 loss. They have to, the $5,000 went out of the bank account in Chicago, but it had to result in $15,000 worth of loss to Chicago GDP. I believe that must be true. It's the only way this works out. It has to be a zero-sum equation. All right. Now, if it is true, when you bring a foreign corporation into your country, and when I say foreign, it could be a corporation operating from New York. It could be a foreign corporation operating out of Missouri. It could be a foreign corporation operating out of Japan or China. They take the profits are generated by that corporation, and they bring them back to their home country or their home state. And when they do, that loss of profits, in my opinion and suspicion, that loss of profits will be multiplied. There will be a multiplied effect. And when the government says, oh, we'll give these guys all kinds of subsidies to build their plant here, this is a certain amount of political window dressing where they're convincing the voters, oh, look, we're building jobs for you. Yeah, but the profits are being sucked out of the country and going somewhere else. We're going to have a three times how whatever the profits are will be, will create a loss in Wisconsin, and a whatever profits there are that go to China or Japan, wherever this is going, that will create, under this theory, this multiplier, they're going to get three times as much. This is why we've had foreign corporations essentially colonizing foreign countries for decades. Our corporations went around the world, and we had this trickle-down theory, and they would set up a corporation, and it would make and the jobs and one thing and another. And generally what happened is the local people found themselves more impoverished after the corporation got there than they did before it arrived. I won't say it always happened, but it did frequently. And I think the reason is because you set that corporation, it takes the profit out of that community, and there is a double and a multiplier effect. You get three times the benefit of that profit in foreign country, or when it's returned back to your country, and the foreign country suffers three times the loss. And you say, well, we only took $1 million in profit. Yeah, but the local economy suffered a $3 million loss. I think the same thing, and this is why they're bringing foreign corporations in. I'm saying, oh, my God. You know, if that notion about
cheaper,
the multiplier effect is right, it's just a big mistake.
It is. It is. I mean, and you will see those dollars flood out of this country, but right now our dollars are a little cheaper, so it does, you know. Taxpayers should not be subsidizing private corporations.
I agree with that.
I mean,
they're talking about the upper middle class.
They're talking about $1 to $3 billion for a corporate welfare package.
Yep.
And you know what? That's probably more like $6 billion or $10 billion or $15 billion when it's all said and done.
It may be.
And it's just not the people in Wisconsin. You know, there's federal subsidies too.
Oh, I
agree. And it's just, and it's wrong. And you know what? The people of Wisconsin, God bless them. We have tons of listeners from Wisconsin. And I know you all want to work. And I hope it does create jobs for you.
But I hope that some of you use the money to start your own corporations, your own businesses, and generate your own profits and keep them locally. You know, the same argument about the multiplier effect applies to Walmart. Walmart comes into town, and everybody says, yay, we'll be able to get flat-screen TVs at a cheap price.
And closes
right?
how many
but
businesses?
But they take the profit out of your community and send it back to Walmart headquarters and wherever they want to send it from there. When that profit is removed from your community winds up beginning to degrade, and before you know it, no one can afford to put a fresh coat of paint on their stores. Everything starts to look dingy and grimy. It's Walmart and corporations like that, and I use Walmart just as an example, but they're sucking the profits out of your local economy, and if that multiplier effect is real, the consequences are dramatic. Farm towns in the United States, they used to be, some of them were bright and bustling, and again, looked like they had a fresh coat of paint, and then some corporation came in and bought the local farms. And people still manage the farms. They had a good dental program with the corporation and medical care. And it seemed like a good situation, but they took the profit out of that community. And next thing you know, that little town just started to degrade and become essentially a ghost town. It's because they brought these corporations in and there's a multiplied effect on the profits that they took out. They were much better to have the mom and pop store in their community who charged a little more, but they kept the money in town.
What I would give them out is say, for every dollar that we give you, you have to put $2 into the infrastructure of this city.
Well, maybe so.
You know, so they could the highways, the bridges, and so forth. You know, so we'll give you, we'll subsidize you for a dollar, but you have to put $2 back into the infrastructure. And that's one, that would be a great way to get a lot of the infrastructure fixed in this country. But anyway.
So we could bring Mexican corporations up here, and the Mexicans can not only pay for the wall, they can pay for the infrastructure.
Well, plus I want to know who, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they keep the construction companies local or if you're going to have large New York construction companies come into the area. And
everybody's going to carve this turkey up and fight over the drumsticks. We're going to take a break. Couple of commercials. Be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. truthandradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, we've been having a lot of news coming out of the White House from Scaramucci, the Mooch. White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci called this into CNN New Day today, which led to a wild 30-minute marathon of a conversation between himself and Chris Cuomo. The segment began when network contributor Ryan Leza called in to discuss how Scaramucci deleted a tweet where he appeared to accuse White House Chief of Staff Rens Priebus of being a leaker. Scaramucci began by monologuing about he and President Trump have figured out who has been leaking information from the White House, and their legal teams are taking steps against them. My question is, Al, what has been the number one leak? I mean, what has been so, you know, changing?
I don't think there's been anything leaked that adversely affects the American people. But I think there have been things leaked that give a certain amount of credence to the legal complaints, the impeachment process against Trump and the rest. And I don't mean that they prove it. I don't mean that I believe it. But I think that there's information that can be little bits and pieces. And
is there an exact list?
I don't know.
I mean, we're all talking about leaks. But what are
I thought we were talking about bedwetting for a while. I thought there was
what are these? What are the leaks that are treasonous?
Yeah.
That are felonies? I mean, what are they? We don't know. They're just called leaks. Coming from the White House, coming from the inner circle. And it's just like the regulations. Oh, we're going to change. Well, what regulations? Point them out to me. I want to see it in print. What are they? I just
don't
want to hear
regulations. We're just going to eliminate regulations. There's a little bit of a difference there. Because,
what are they?
Well, the banking.
Which ones?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
That's it.
I've seen one report that it'll make it harder for people to sue the banks. Right? I don't know if that's true or false. I've seen one report. Whatever it is, it's got to be favorable to the banking industry.
I get that, Al.
Which is just crazy because you can't trust them.
I get that, Al. But on so many of the news stories on either side, whether it's real news or whether it's fake news or whatever, they always fail to list the exact leak. Now, this one was supposed to be on Scaramucci's financial affairs, which is really public record anyway. So it can't really be a leak. And, you know, so it's just kind of...
They're following the Democrats have shown us how to play this game. You don't need real charges. You just need to keep alleging that there are real charges. And sooner or later, if you tell the lie long enough, people will, it must be true because they've said it 100,000 times. The Republicans perhaps have caught the same disease, and they're alleging leaks when who knows, maybe there's nothing. And what cracks me up on part of this is you started this comment on Scaramucci talking about either Scaramucci or Trump had said something about tweet. Right? I mean, this is like listening to kids in a clubhouse.
Yeah.
Somebody's tweeting. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
I get it. It's a new world. These are important technologies and the rest of it. But there is something about, oh my gosh, somebody tweeted. Let's all get excited about it. I have a problem with that. Maybe we'll find out when World War III breaks out, we'll find out because somebody tweeted. Yeah, if this had been an actual alert, you've been given instructions to, I don't know, go wherever it is you got to go. This is just, we will have test alerts perhaps over our tweets.
Well, then I guess those of us who don't read the tweets, we're heck out of luck.
Yeah, I understand. Right? Although in the context of World War III,
like,
we'll be out of luck soon enough anyway.
Take me, Lord, take me.
Yeah, I know, right.
Take me, Lord. Not today. Not today, Lord, but...
But just before the bills come due. Let me go to the end of the month and get me right before the first of the month.
No. Right before that... well, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Right before the North Korea's nuclear weapon strikes... the East Coast, and a tsunami comes roaring in. Anyway, here's an interesting article. We're going to talk about gold, an African gold miner. It used to be the African Barrick Gold. Everyone knows Barrick. Everybody knows that Barrick was basically a government mining company, and they helped along with, keeping the suppression of gold prices. Most people probably don't remember that back in the 90s and early 2000s, and they quit hedging and so forth. But they changed the name in their African mining company. They changed it to Acacia Mining. They just been handed a spectacular $190 billion tax bill and fine from the Tanzanian government.
Tanzanian.
The figure is four times the size of the country's gross domestic product, or 70 times the record penalty that the European Union dished out to Google last month. That followed the country's ban on exporting gold concentrate. Its allegations of illegal mining and tax evasion was denied by Acacia, the mining company, and police interrogations of at least two employees. The stock has tanked more than 40% in 4 days. The contrast with parent Barrick Gold Corp's plan to reboot operations in 24 couldn't be starker. And they go on and talk about, what Acacia told investors its aim was, and a partner of choice for governments and communities. Well, that doesn't seem to be working out real well.
Sounds like their governmental partner is moving them out of the business.
If
you can impose taxes on some corporation that are four times your gross domestic product, it indicates to me that they want to nationalize that corporation, or they want to at least move it from the hands of whatever private investors own Barrick or Acacia right now into some government-approved private investors, which would include the prime minister or president of the country and a couple of key people in the legislature. And
Everyone knows that they're not going to pay it. There will be some sort of a negotiation. But this company, Acacia, is not the first to receive a huge bill in Africa. Last year, Chad hit Exxon Mobil Corp with a $74 billion fine over taxes. The oil producer reached a settlement last month that avoided the penalty. MTN Group was fined $5.2 billion by Nigeria over a missed deadline, but ended up paying just $1 billion.
Well, you know what it sounds like. Again, this is just a gang of thugs who are coming up on a mom-and-pop grocery store and guaranteeing to protect their window. Well, I get that, but figuratively speaking, nevertheless, they're being extorted. They are being extorted. They're not being taxed. I mean, there are people who would argue that the difference between tax and extortion, maybe it's a pretty fine distinction in the first place, but they are being extorted right now and maybe even driven out of business so someone else can take over the business. This is not, just government in the good. If there is a good sense for government, that's not it. This is extortion and kind of threats that either pay off. You either give us a big bribe or we're going to take your whole corporation. You're going to lose it all. What's it going to be?
Well, they are claiming that their wealth, trillions of dollars has been stolen from them, and they want to negotiate. And they said if they delay, they will shut down all the mines. And so if any of you folks out there, if you're owning that stock, well, there's nothing like owning the real thing, and that's that gold in your hand. Because if you don't have that gold in your hand, you don't own it.
Well, I agree. Take a payment rather than a promise to pay. All of the paper is just promises to pay, as I've said repeatedly on the program, but it's an important insight in my opinion. Got to know the difference between a payment and a promise to pay. Which would you rather have?
Here's an article.
The truth is you want the payment.
Here's an article that I thought was interesting because it's referencing Pennsylvania. It's also referencing where I had family, where they live. And when I first came to Pennsylvania, I stayed up there a little bit, and that is Potter County. And I have listeners and clients who also live in Potter County, Pennsylvania. And they call it God's country because it really is beautiful country up there. Just absolutely beautiful. And it's right in the center of the state of Pennsylvania, right on the border of New York and Pennsylvania. But they have the over 16 million Americans are now legally permitted to carry concealed weapons, a 265% increase in 10 years. But one county in particular is leading the way. And that county is Potter County. Nowhere in America is concealed carry more popular than in Potter County. That's also probably because there's less people. But there, 50.3% of all adults carry a concealed carry permit, the highest rate of licensed carry in any county in the United States. Its rate of concealed carry permits blows away the rest of the state. The next closest counties were McKean, Warren, Cameron, and Armstrong. And the citizens of the residents of that county are very proud, and they know the saying, an armed society is a polite society.
I agree.
And
how about the crime rate is down?
And you know, it's interesting because they told me, my relatives told me a story that, I don't know, it was a work crew, I don't know, the electrical work crew or the telephone line crew, or maybe it was even cable. And they live really far out. There's not much around them but farms and so forth. And it was at dark, and they were coming up the driveway, and they heard the shotgun, and I was like, don't shoot, we're just here to work on the road. And they know, people know that residents are armed, and yep, they're very careful, they're respectful, and they identify themselves. And if you're not identified, well, you're in trouble. It's just like when I lived in Missouri in the country, and when we had first moved there, there was some, I don't know, bad guy that escaped and, you know, did some murders and so forth. And the sheriff was pretty much like, well, eventually we'll get him. One of the residents in the county that we lived in, we'll get him, you know, because everyone was armed.
Yep.
So I thought that was interesting that we see the concealed carry certainly increase.
Did Potter County have some sort of a crime wave in the last 5-10 years where they had people coming in from the outside that were robbing farms or whatever? Did that, and I don't mean a crime wave necessarily, but at least a number of celebrated cases that made everybody a little bit paranoid. Do you know if that's true or false?
No, they was driven primarily by fears of Democratic presidencies. The growth in permits has continued at a similar pace after the November 2016 election. So they get it up there. You know, it's a county that they get it.
Yep. 53% have concealed carry. It means when you're out in public.
One out of two.
Well, yeah, maybe a little less than that. I don't know if that calculates. 53%, does that include children, for example, and 53% of the population, or is it 53% of the adult population, or do you know?
Well, it was 50.3%.
All right, but even, okay, 50.3%. Even so, you can't walk into a room.
These are concealed carry, so I don't think children would be involved.
But they're involved in the number when they calculate the population. If the children are calculated into the population and we've got 53% including kids, it's even a higher concentration among adults. You know, is it 50.3% only for adults, or if it's 53.3% for everyone, including the children, it means for the adults it would be even higher than 50.3%. Mm-hmm. But still, it means the only place you can go, the only public place you can go where you might, there may not be someone else with a gun is perhaps in the stalls in the public bathrooms. And in there all by yourself, you might be the only one who doesn't have a gun. If you're anyplace else, odds are if you don't have a gun, the other guy does. And I'm sure it does make people more law-abiding. Got an article here from BuzzFeed News. And the headline is, a D.C. federal court just ruled carrying guns in public is a core Second Amendment right. Federal appeals court in Washington, D.C. ruled on Tuesday that the city's laws restricting public carrying of firearms amounted to a total ban on exercising that right. The decision breaks with courts elsewhere that found otherwise. A federal appeals court on Tuesday struck down Washington, D.C.'s latest attempt to limit residents' right to carry guns in public. U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit held in a 2-1 decision that the public carrying of firearms is a core Second Amendment right. The ruling breaks with several federal appeals courts that have ruled the other way, of course, for that long struggle against gun violence. This is a quote from D.C. Circuit. This is the judge in the case, Thomas Griffith, and he wrote in the majority opinion, for that long struggle against gun violence, you might see today's decision as a defeat. Meaning some people say, oh my God, they're giving more guns to people, there are going to be more deaths. That's the way some people are going to argue. That's certainly the way liberals are going to argue. You can't give people guns or they'll kill themselves and other people. And the judge says, for that long struggle against gun violence, you might see in today's decision a defeat. You might see the opposite, which is a lot of people understand that when you get more guns, you have less crime. But he goes on, he says, to say whether it is one or another is beyond our ken here. We are bound to leave the district as much space to regulate as the Constitution allows, but no more. Meaning no more space than the Constitution allows. U.S. Supreme Court, let me see, is there anything else here? Well, it's just another sign of the times. More, especially coming out of Washington, D.C., a federal court ruling that you can carry guns, concealed firearms in Washington, D.C., that is a surprise. I would suppose that when you're talking about Washington, D.C., you should be talking about a fairly liberal community. You should be talking about people who don't want guns and nevertheless, here's a court saying, oh yeah, you get them, you get to have them. I'm encouraged, I like it. You know, we see a lot of things in this world right now that seem to be negative, and not just negative, but weird, bizarre, insane. But here we see something that strikes me at least as rational. Let's take a break, a couple more commercials. We'll be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, we were talking about the insanity that's going on here and around the world, and this is beginning to pop back into the news about North Korea. The ICBM threat is advancing faster than expected. This is from U.S. General Mark Milley, the chief of staff of the Army. He said that today, that North Korea's July 4th test of an intercontinental ballistic missile showed its capabilities were advancing significantly and faster than many had expected. His remarks were to the National Press Club in Washington, said there was still time for a non-military solution to the crisis caused by North Korea's nuclear missile programs, he says, but the time is running out. North Korea is extremely dangerous and more dangerous as the weeks go by. So, again, here's another warning that eventually something's going to have to give. They're going to have to do something. What was odd, I wanted to follow up on it, where they were talking about the Russian sanctions, whether they're going to keep them or take them off. And I had actually saw where I think it was in the budget, where they were taking the sanctions off of North Korea. So I don't know if that was some
taking
sort of,
sanctions off of North Korea.
Yeah. So I don't know if the report had the two reversed, you know, putting them on North Korea and taking them off Russia, and they inadvertently had erred in their report.
So does that mean we're going to bomb Russia instead of North Korea?
Fake. Maybe that was fake news.
Oh, we had a report here. We got it backwards in the report.
You know,
so we bombed Moscow instead of Seoul or whatever the name is.
Oops.
These things happen, though. It's a little collateral damage. I got a report here from Zero Hedge about North Korea, and the headline is, U.S. urges all nationals in North Korea to depart immediately. Bans tourists from visiting.
That was about last week that came.
Yeah, I know. It's a couple days old, but nevertheless, it makes a point.
Bloomberg.
U.S.-led is set to ban all citizens from traveling to North Korea. The ban will go in on effect, it's supposed to the 27th, that is today, and after that there'll be a 30-day grace period until about August 26th that will give people an opportunity to get out of Korea and not go there anymore. After the 30-day grace period, any U.S. national that travels to North Korea will have their passport invalidated by the government. They may also find themselves nuked or otherwise, you know, exploded, bombed, or whatever by friendly fire. Additionally, Ron Baring of the Young Pioneers Tour, this is out of China, and he told the BBC that the embassy was urging all U.S. nationals to depart immediately. Well, the point behind this is that if they're telling people to get out of the country now, that's good evidence. Well, it's not proof, but it's certainly evidence that's consistent with the idea that they are intending to bomb fairly quickly. Although they're saying they're going to give people a 30-day grace period. You say, you're not going there anymore starting today, but we're going to give you 30 days to get out. Well, that implies that we're not going to bomb them until sometime in August. All of which I find disturbing. If you can believe North Korea, I don't know if you can, but if you can believe them that they want to nuke some portion of the United States, and they've got an ICBM that might be able to do it now. I mean, they've had one that they've tested, all right? It doesn't mean the next one is going to work. It doesn't mean, and you don't put these ICBMs together, you know, and go out in the garage, and I'm going to build an ICBM this afternoon. It takes a while to build one of these things, right? We don't know how many ICBMs that North Korea might have, But assuming they've had one that's been a success, it doesn't sound like they have many more at this moment. It may take a month or two or three before they can build another one. Nevertheless, if they can build another one and they keep threatening to bomb the United States, I don't see the United States has any choice other than to terminate that threat. I mean, you can say, well, the guy's just crazy. Well, yeah, but he does have a nuclear weapon. He's got an ICBM. He says he's got one. And he has more weapons of mass destruction than Saddam Hussein had. Saddam Hussein allegedly had weapons of mass destruction, and we invaded based on that. And the yellow cake uranium and the rest of that sort of thing. That was all nonsense. It was all lies. But there's not much doubt that North Korea has something, and they have more than Saddam Hussein has. And what Saddam Hussein claimed to have, merely claimed to have, was government deemed it sufficient to justify an invasion of Iraq. And right now, you know, North Korea, you know, it's insane. It's the sort of thing that I don't want to support. I don't want to have happen. But yet, you have to sit there and say, they're asking for it. They're asking for it. You keep asking for it. We're going to give it to you. So, I don't know. How's it going to work out, Melody?
I don't know. But it is concerning that, you know, U.S. citizens are told to leave and basically given the time frame. So, be careful, folks, and be prepared for, because whatever happens, it's going to happen quick. You're not going to know about it. You're going to wake up one day to a different world, and you better be prepared for it. Something else, one of my clients, Donald, a good client, friend, has been talking about the plant. I think we mentioned it briefly. A company in Wisconsin is, and this story has been around for a couple days, microchip implants for employees. I think we mentioned it briefly yesterday. And the reason I bring it up today is I saw the company owner on Fox News. He was there in the morning. He was there in the afternoon. I'd mentioned it in the morning, or I think I mentioned it on Beth Ann's program in the morning. They're just laughing at this and think it's a joke. And, I mean, this is something that, you know, we've been talking about for years and years and years. It's been on the shortwave. It's been, you know, in this venue, the right-wing venue, for a very long time. If anybody refers to a Bible, you know, you talk about no buying and selling.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this company, Three Square Market, on August 1st, they can choose to have the chip the size of a grain of rice injected in between their thumb and index finger. Once that is done, any task involving RFID technology, like swiping into the office building, paying for food in the cafeteria, can be accomplished with just the waving of a hand. Now, this program isn't mandatory, but 50 out of 80 employees have volunteered. And the idiots think it's great. This guy says it was pretty much 100% right from the get-go for me. In the next 5 to 10 years, this is going to be something that isn't scoffed at so much or is more normal. He wants to get on the bandwagon with these kinds of things early just to say that he has it. I mean, it's like, are you kidding?
Brag about your buddies.
And what's
interesting, new status symbol, Melody. I didn't get a new Cadillac, but I got a new RFID chip.
Ooh, and what's interesting, this guy said, I was watching Tucker Carlson last night, and he says, well, you know, Big Brother, guys, oh, no, this doesn't have any GPS tracking in it. And I was like, are you kidding me? Do you really believe that? If you do, I got a bridge in Florida or maybe some really nice property down in Florida I can sell you. And Tucker asked him, well, what happens when you move on to a different company? Do they remove it? No, they don't. So once it's implanted, it's there forever. Doesn't matter what company you work for.
You're going to wind up with having multiple RFID chips in your hand.
No, the company.
Six different employers with six different RFID
chips. No, you won't have different that many chips. You will have companies that have the same reader and, you know, program to read whatever chip you have. Your chip will go with you wherever you go. And it's just like when I took my aunt, I mentioned this on the program, when I took my aunt to the doctor's office, they now have for Medicare, they now have these little hand computers they hand you. And you have to go through the same thing. You sign your name. It looks like chicken scratch for your signature. It's a pain in the butt. And yet I hear people talking in the office, well, you know, they ought to just give us the chip and we can just scan it and be done and get out of here real quick. I mean, this is a conditioning of the people. These are the steps that governments take that, you know, and people will welcome just for the ease, just for convenience. That's how people are sold on everything, convenience. And it just blows my mind. And what really blew my mind was the people on Fox, because everybody thinks Fox is so conservative. They, you know, God bless you. And they, not one of them brought up the biblical aspect of it. And they just laughed at it like this was a joke. And that surprised me. So anyway.
We have a tendency to worship our technology, and it's not
Absolutely.
New. I think there was a time when the Egyptians, 3,000 years ago, when they invented war chariots, right? That would be an impressive technology. People had a bronze sword, impressive technology. We have a tendency as people to worship our technology in the same sense. There's something almost magical about the technology for a lot of people. And whatever is new, we kind of want it. You know, we say, oh my God, I don't have the newest I don't have the newest computer. I don't have the newest car. I can't, I don't have a GPS tracking device. You can't, those vacancies, those voids in your technological life, they kind of nag at us. They say, hey, you got to get with it, you know, and get some of the technology. So my point is that you give people, say, oh, look, we can give you, we're going to give you a little pill here, a little chip that we can put in your hand, and this will even have a death proviso where if it's necessary to protect you, you know, from being tortured, we can hit this and you'll be dead right then. We can send us electric, and people will sign up for it. Oh yeah, cool. I've even got the death option in my RFID chip.
It's insane.
I understand. The world is just going right out of its mind, or I don't know whether the world is out of its mind or I have lost my mind, but I guarantee you there is a big difference between the way the world seems to think and the way I think, and I'm sure that most of the people in the audience understand exactly what I'm talking about.
As I. Well,
we got one here from Zero Hedge, and it illustrates some of the same idea we're talking about. European Union to retaliate within days if U.S. imposes new sanctions on Russia. On Sunday, the White House said President Trump was open to signing legislation toughening sanctions on Russia. We support where the legislation is now, and we'll continue working with the House and Senate to put those tough sanctions in place on Russia. But European Union turns around and they say, look, if you put any more sanctions on Russia, we're going to do whatever it is we have to do. What do they say? Brussels said it would act within days if new sanctions the U.S. plans to impose on Russia proved to be damaging to Europe's trade with the Moscow. Retaliatory measures may include limiting U.S. jurisdiction over European Union companies. I thought Russia was our enemy and the European Union was our ally, but here we have a situation where the European Union is warning that they will support Russia in this, and we are in theory inhibited from doing any more. And I'm not in favor of any more sanctions on Russia. I think it's all nonsense. But just the same, this is to me another illustration of the kind of madness that's going on in the world. Who is your ally? And it all depends on what have you done for me lately. And by lately, we mean perhaps in the last 72 hours or a month at the most. If you haven't done anything, you're not my buddy. You're not my pal. You're not my ally anymore. who's putting the most money in the European Union's pocket? The United States, or is it Russia? And that's who the European Union is going to side with. And it's the way of the world. Everybody's in favor of more money, more money, more money. But it strikes me as dangerous. You should have more consistent alliances, or at least you'd like to imagine you have more consistent and persistent alliances. Maybe we've been allied with the European Union long enough where, no, European Union, they're looking for a new alliance, maybe with Russia. Maybe Russia can do more for them than we can. Still, it's just another illustration of the kind of instability that's going on in this world right now. You can't even count on your alleged allies to support you with sanctioning Russia or invading Syria or whatever. And I'm not saying that they should, but the fact that they don't is evidence of instability that should be cause for concern. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.